Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 5, Vidura's Talks with Maitreya, Text 43. Vishvasya janma sthiti samyama arte krita avatarasya para ambujam te prajema sarve charanam yat isha smritam priyachati Abhayam Svapunsam Vishvasya Janma Stiti Samyamarate Vithavatarasya Padambujamte Prajema Sarve Sharanam Yad Isha Smritam Prayachat Yavayam Sapumsam Vishvasya of the cosmic universe. Janma creation. Stiti maintenance. Samyama arte. For the dissolution also. Krita, accepted or assumed. Avatarasya, of the incarnation. Pada Ambujam, lotus feet. Te, your. Prajema, let us take shelter of. Sarve, all of us. Sharanam, shelter. Yat, that which. Isha, O Lord. Smritam, remembrance. Priyachiti, awarding. Abhayam, courage. Swa, Pumsam, of the devotees. Translation purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. O Lord, you assume incarnations for the creation, maintenance, and dissolution of the cosmic manifestation. And therefore, we all take shelter of your lotus feet because they always reward remembrance and courage to your devotees. Purport. For the creation, maintenance, and dissolution of the cosmic manifestation, there are three incarnations: Brahma, Vishnu, and Maheshwara, Lord Shiva. They are the controllers or masters of the three modes of material nature, which cause the phenomenal manifestation. Vishnu is the master of the mode of goodness, Brahma is the master of the mode of passion, and Maheshwara is the master of the mode of ignorance. There are different kinds of devotees according to the modes of nature. Persons in the mode of goodness worship Lord Vishnu, those in the mode of passion worship Lord Brahma, and those in the mode of ignorance worship Lord Shiva. All three of these deities are incarnations of the Supreme Lord Krishna because he is the original personality of Godhead. The demigods directly refer to the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord and not to the different incarnations. The incarnation of Vishnu in the material world is, however, directly worshipped by the demigods. It is learned from the various scriptures that the demigods approach Lord Vishnu in the ocean of milk and submit their grievances whenever there is some difficulty in the administration of universal affairs. Although they are incarnations of the Lord, Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva worship Lord Vishnu, and thus they are also counted amongst the demigods, and that is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Persons who worship Lord Vishnu are called demigods, and persons who do not care to do so are called asuras or demons. Vishnu always takes the part of the demigods, the Brahman Shiva sometimes takes the side of the demons. It is not that they become one in interest with them, but sometimes they do something in order to gain control over the demons. Vishvasya janma sthiti samyamarte kritavatarasya padambujamte Prajema sarve sharanam yat isha sritam prayachat yavayam supumsam. O Lord, you assume incarnations of the creation, maintenance, and dissolution of the cosmic manifestation. Therefore, we all take shelter of your lotus feet, because they are always a reward, remembrance, and courage to your devotees. Mam Vishnu Vidaya Krishna Pristai Bhutai, Srimate Bhakti Vidanta Swami Tanamane, Namaste Sarasutun Deve, Gauravani Vicharane, Nirvishesha Shindavadi Paskatyade Sitarane. In the 11th canto, it explains about the conditioned soul being in the material world, saying that he's here because he becomes fearful because of mistaking his identity as being the controller. How does it start? Bayam, yes, bayam is abayam. Bayam dviti vinivesitasya asharavitasya vipariyo smriti. That this vipariyo smriti, this lack of actual remembrance, doesn't mean that we can't remember what our name is or where I left my keys. It means I can't remember who I am. More basic remembrance. And therefore it produces fearfulness, because as soon as we forget who we are, then we think we are this body. And this is called abhinivesita. There are five different types of kleshas. Anyone know the five kleshas? Since we all have some experience with them, we might as well know what they are. What's that? Oh, those are also the kleshas. Yeah, those are sometimes divided up like that. But there are five kinds of kleshas. Those are three miseries. Adibodhika, klesha, etc. But there are five different divisions of the kleshas. The first one is called avidya, ignorance. We don't know what's going on, and therefore we assume the wrong thing that's going on. That's called false ego. So from avidya comes false ego, and from false ego, identifying with this body, comes rag and dvesha. We become attached and averse. And then abhinivesita. We become absorbed in our attachments and aversions, and we identify with this body and become very fearful over our material future. Because we're going to die, or at least the body is going to die. And since we identify with the body, therefore we're in anxiety about what's going to happen to me as a body. Vayam dvitiya abhinivesitasya. And therefore we think there is two things. We think there is the controller, the universe, and then we think that there is me, and somehow or another little me is being unfairly treated by the material universe because it's trying to kill me. I think it was Harikesh, Mother Jai Bhadra's son, his quotes to Harikesh, that it doesn't mean that you're paranoid just because you think that people are out to get you.
Get you, not out to get you.
Yeah, so the material universe apparently is out to get each one of us. It's killing us. And because we're absorbed in this conception, we suffer anxiety and pain. It's not very pleasant for the soul. And Ishadapatasya Vipariyosmriti. Because we've forgotten that we're servants, and instead we think our goal is to become a master. What's that? Vipariyo smriti maya vayam dvitiya vini veshitasya rishadapitasya vipariyo smriti. What's the next one?
Tadmaye
tam guru abhijeta guru abhijeta bhaktyaikayesham guru devatatma. Therefore, the suggestion is that we should take to the path of bhakti. Mayayatam. What's the next word? Guru. After Tadmayayatam. Buddha. Buddha means intelligence. Abhijeta Twam. So we should try and get some real intelligence. But here it says in Bhagavad Gita that the worshippers of the demigods, they're not very intelligent. Tam that Triguna Mam Guru Trivitimam Putapapa Jagna Ishva Swargatim Pratariante Te Punya Surendilokam Ashnanti Divyam Divi Deva Bogan Trivitimam Samapa Putapapa. So they want to drink the soma juice because by drinking soma juice one gets force, energy, and one lives apparently for a long, long time. Practically, by our standards, they live forever. So that's taken care of. You have energy to enjoy the material world seemingly forever. People study the three Vedas with that aim in mind. Trividyamam samapa putapapa jagna ishva swargatim pratariyante. So then eventually they can go to Swargaloka. So apparently the demigods in the Vedas, they have a good name. Practically speaking, they're equated many times with Lord Vishnu. That Agni is Vishnu, Indra is Vishnu, sometimes Shiva is, you know, the Supreme. And therefore people become attracted. People read the Indologists or the scholars who read the Vedas, they become very, they think, oh, just see how these aborigine people, first they thought that the fire was God, then they thought air was God, and then they thought some aboriginal cowherd boy in Vrindavan was God. See how confused they are. Studying the Vedas, one would, without an overall viewpoint, one would apparently come to that position. But actually the Vedas, they know that people in the material world are generally rascals. They've come here to enjoy and control. Therefore they offer opportunities for more enjoyment and more control. Here, the advertisements, they say that if you can get this exercise machine, you'll get more enjoyment and control. Or if you can invest in this stock, then you'll get more investment and control. Or you take this, you know, drink this magic formula, KM, whatever it is, and then you'll get more power. But it's so insignificant, it's just like, it's almost for the demigods, it's like a joke. Here they are. They're controlling planets and all the elements. And people are interested in, you know, drinking this little magic formula so they can get up in the morning. Things are very powerful. But the idea is that the demigods, they are powerful compared to us, and therefore people become attracted. Krishna speaks quite a bit about the demigod in Bhagavad Gita. And about the demigod worshippers. Yaimam pushpitam vacham pravatya vipasita veda vatarata parata nanyam astiti vadina kamatmaka swargapara janma karma phalapradam kriyavisheshu vahulam bogaishvara gitim prati. Those who are less intelligent, they're very much attracted to the flowery language of the Vedas. Because after all, unless things are dressed in flowery language, no one would take it seriously. You know, you can go there and meet these angelic heavenly ladies, and they're the most beautiful in all the universe, and all the demigods, you know, you won't believe it. So it has to be, but when you go there, after some millions of years, you just get used to the whole thing. You think, what's next? Because you've already gone through it, because it's material. And not only is material means it's just phantasmagoria. It's Tridasha Purakasha Pushpayate. It's phantasmagoria because it's actually just a different phase of illusion. The demigods, whether it's Lord Brahma or Lord Shiva, although they're certainly situated in the mode of goodness, but they themselves are in the same circumstances that we're in. They're little tiny souls floating around in this much bigger body than we are, imagining that they're the controllers. But actually, the reality is prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvashaha ahankara vimudatma kartaham iti manyate. The reality is that Krishna is in the heart of the demigods. Yo 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 yam yam tanum bhakta shadiyarshitum ichati. tasya tasya ashram sharam tam eva vididhamiha. He's in the heart of the demigod, and he knows what the demigod's thinking. He's thinking, let me get some food. Just like we're thinking, let me get some food. His food is a little more subtle. It's come from the performance of the sacrifices on this planet. He gets some more subtle food. And we get the food in return. It's like, you know, you scratch my back, I scratch your back. But the person arranging the back scratching is Krishna. And the scratching is actually done by the modes of nature, not by the little soul in the heart of the demigod, nor by the little soul in our heart. It's done by the modes of material nature through the arrangement of Krishna. So Krishna is actually the one who should get the credit. But because people are less intelligent, therefore they think the demigods are doing it. But the demigods, they know within the heart, they're also not the doer. It's Vishnu. Therefore that's why they're demigods. Because they are willing to desire according to how Krishna wants, generally speaking. And the demons are those, sometimes they know Krishna is God, but they just don't like that. They don't like the fact that Krishna is God, and to show that they don't like it, they become rebellious. They won't follow his instructions. Krishna says to the demigods, when they're churning the ocean of milk, let's all grab the tail. First they're in the... So the demons, they thought, or actually Krishna, Lord Vishnu first said, let's all grab the mouth of Vasuki. So as soon as all the demigods grabbed the mouth, then all the demons immediately complained. Why are you grabbing the mouth? Why don't you let us, you know, why are you giving us this, you know, inferior part of the snake? You know, this is not a very, you know, dirty part of the snake. Why you demigods are always so selfish and etc. So the demigods said, all right, you're nice people, dear demons. You can take the mouth. So immediately the demons took the mouth, and Vasuki started to breathe fire and burnt all the demons. Because the demigods say white, the demons say black. The demigods say, all right, black. They say, no, white. Just the opposite. Dvayam apurusho loke, dayam asanam evacha, daiva vishrasa prauta, asanam parthameshinu. That there are two kinds of created beings, the demigods and the demons. Dvayamo purusho loke, shara chakshara evacha, shara sarvani bhutani kutasta shara uchite. In this world there are two kinds of created beings, the divine and the demoniac. Just mix up the verses, anyhow, whatever. Translation. The first verse is, there are two kinds of created beings, the divine and the demoniac. I already explained to you about the divine, now let me tell you about the demoniac. So now Krishna puts his two cents in about the demoniac. Just what he says. Gets back to the demonia. He says that actually their main problem is that they think that they're due to the absence of controlling power in the material world, therefore they have to fill in the vacuum and take control themselves. They have no faith in God. They have no faith in God's creation. They only have faith in their own strength, whatever, however little it may or great it may be. Therefore they're demons. And whatever they do, they just make things worse. But they'll give each other credit for how nicely they're doing, although they're making everyone's life miserable. So that's a demon. Because they won't take shelter of Krishna. And what is their destination? Yak shastra vidim ustrija vartate kamakarata asasidim avatnoti nasukam napurangitim. By such taking shelter of such persons, one can't get happiness or peace, or the supreme destination. But even the demigods, they're succumb devotees, they're devotees, but they have material desires. So even when takes shelter of the demigods, unless one understands their relationship with Krishna, then they're also demons. It is not that by taking shelter of the demigod, one necessarily becomes a demigod, unless one understands their relationship with Vishnu. Rikasura took shelter of the demigods, Lord Shiva, and he became a big demon. He even threatened Lord Shiva. Although he did listen to Lord Vishnu and touched his head. It's the only good thing he probably ever did in his life. The only time he ever listened to Lord Vishnu. Probably the last time he wanted to listen to Lord Vishnu. I finally trusted this guy for just what he did. See what he did to me. No wonder I've been against him since time immemorial. All the other demons were telling me was right. You can't trust Vishnu. But he's a friend of my father, so what can you do? But on the other hand, Gajendra, he understood that, why take shelter of the demigods? Even the demigods, they come and they save me. So, what happens next? I'm still going to die anyhow. Either the crocodile kills me, or someone else is going to kill me. The crocodile will let go of my foot, I'll step on the land and trip and, you know, break my head and die. Therefore, someone like Katvanga Maharaj, all the demigods, he fought on behalf of the demigods, and finally they said, all right, it's time, we should give you some benediction. So he thought, nice, I can get anything I want, so let me first of all find out how long I have left to live. So then they found out he had one moment left to live. So what kind of benediction could he ask for? Give me a big house, you know, 15 rooms and... you know, somebody, sorry, it's time up. You're dead. Oh. No, so he immediately came down to the earth planet and fixed his mind on Lord Vishnu and went back to Godhead. He didn't waste his time asking for some benediction. On the other hand, Mukshakunda, after fighting for the demigods, he asked, what kind of benediction would you want? He said, give me a break. Let me go to sleep. And don't let anyone disturb it. No alarm clock. You know, no one to come in and tell me it's time to wake up. Just let me sleep as long as I want. So he was apparently sleeping for hundreds of years. And then someone came in to disturb him. And by the benediction of the demigods, he burnt the person to ashes. So that's, you work for the demigods for hundreds or thousands of years. That's the benediction you ultimately wind up with. Just a more sophisticated way of eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. But it's the same thing. Whether the happiness is obtained in a gold vessel or iron vessel, it's the same water. So the same sense gratification is there in the demigods, the same illusion that we're the controllers, that we're the doers, we're the enjoyers, the same illusion is there, and therefore taking shelter of the demigods is not very much recommended. And we can see that the demigods themselves, they don't take shelter of each other. Agni doesn't go and pray, you know, generally pray to, you know, to Vayu, please give me your shelter. No, when it really gets down to it, they're all bewildered and they all have to go to Vishnu and take shelter. And because they take shelter of Vishnu, therefore Vishnu comes and protects them. If the demons would take shelter of Vishnu, Vishnu would come and protect them. But the definition of a demon is that the last person they'll take shelter in is Vishnu. Even they know I got to take shelter of Vishnu or else I'm finished, still they won't do it. It's just that's what the demon means. They know, like the two wrestlers, Mustika, Chanura, Krishna said, well, it's not really right that we should fight with you because we're just cowherd boys. Sometimes we fight with the other little cowherd boys in our village, but you're big, big wrestlers, as strong as thunderbolts. How would it be right that we fight with you? So Chanura and Mustika, they said, no, no, we know who you are. We know you're the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You've created, you've maintained, you annihilate the cosmic creation. So come and fight with us and we'll kill you. So that's called bewilderment. They know he's God, but still they can't refrain from fighting with him. Of course they always lose. Still they think, well, you know, now we've practiced, you know, for so long, we've lifted so many hills, we've done so much, that this is the time we'll be able to get it. We got him where we want him. But they lose, they always lose. But they still come back for more. That's the definition of the material world. We lose every time, but still we're enthusiastic. This time it's going to be different. And then we get old and morose, and just like Jarasandha. 17 times with all his Akshahini divisions, he came, everyone got wiped out. He got captured 17 times. And still, every time he was released, he went back. His friend said, well, maybe he got you when you weren't looking. And, you know, they did some trick that, you know. But this time, next time, it'll be better. So he maintained his enthusiasm throughout all the different times and went to attack Vishnu and lost every time, except one time Vishnu said, all right, give this guy a break. He's going to have a heart attack. He's not supposed to die from a heart attack. Bhima is supposed to split him in half. So give him a little encouragement. So Krishna acted as Ranchura and he said, ah, now we did it. We burnt those little guys to bits, you know, on the mountaintop and to ashes. And then here he was again, kidnapping Rukmini right before him. So he just never went. But even when they set shelter of the demigods, they're so-called, what to speak of attacking Krishna or taking shelter of the demigods, because often these demons, they take shelter of the demigods to fight against Vishnu. When Krishna cut off the head of Pundraka and Kasiraj, and then threw Kasiraj's head into Varanasi, and all the residents gathered around and said, this must be Krishna's head. The Kasiraj must have cut off his head and thrown into the city for our happiness. And then they looked at the head and saw this weird smile and said, wait a second, that's Kasiraj. So obviously many people got disappointed that, you know, Kasiraj was killed, and they became very angry. And they decided, let's kill Krishna. So who do you take shelter of to kill Krishna? Obviously, you have to take shelter of someone very powerful. So Sudakshina, who is Kasiraj's son, took shelter of Lord Shiva. And Lord Shiva said, perform this austerity, this sacrifice, and then one demon will come, and he'll be surrounded, and if he has to kill some Brahmin, then he'll be surrounded by Brahmin Rakshashas who will be able to kill the Brahmin, and they can kill your enemy. So they chanted the mantras, the demon came, fiery demon, went to Dwarka to burn it to ashes, and Krishna heard about it, and just threw his Sudarshan Chakra, and the demon thought, well, this is not the place to be. And he decided to make a return trip to Varanasi. So he went there, but he had to do something because he's created some purpose. So he went to all the priests who had performed the sacrifice and burnt them to ashes, along with Sudakshin. So Lord Shiva knew this rascal, he's performing some penance to kill his some sacrifice to kill his enemy, but his enemy is my worshipful Lord. Let me give him some benediction and he'll be burnt to ashes. The demons, Vrikasura, he touched his own head, or other demons, they get some benediction, but ultimately, if they're demoniac, except for someone like Banasura, Lord Shiva came to protect Banasura, and Lord Shiva personally with Kartikeya and Pradumya, and Kartikeya and Ganapati, they came. Is it Ganapati or Ganapati? What's that? Ganapati. So he came and he fought on the side of Banasura. But Lord Shiva, obviously he got vanquished. First the yawning weapon, the Shiva Jwara weapon. He just got defeated. And then he offered prayers on behalf when Banasura, although his worshipful Lord, by which he got all his power from, was completely defeated, got yawned out of the battlefield, came back to the Shiva Dwara. The Shiva Dwara got attacked by the Narayan Dwara and had to flee. The Shiva Dwara surrendered to Lord Vishnu. Everything he did frustrated. Lord Shiva got frustrated. But Banasura was so foolish, with his 1,000 arms, still he attacked Lord Krishna. And they just got all cut off one after another until he was left with 4 arms. And then he got the benediction of becoming practically immortal in his 4-arm form. So even though they see their worshipful Lord is defeated, still the demons, they have no intelligence. Therefore the idea here is that we should not approach the demigods. We should approach Lord Vishnu. As they're approaching Lord Vishnu, We should also approach Lord Vishnu for whatever we want. The only difficulty is that Lord Vishnu doesn't always award benedictions. Because Lord Vishnu is considerate. If the benediction is going to not be beneficial for the person, then he won't award it. For the demigods, they just try, Lord Shiva is Ashutosh, he just tries to get rid of the person. He just doesn't want to be bothered with all these people asking for benedictions. He just gives it to them. He doesn't really care what happens. But Lord Vishnu is considerate, and therefore he'll only give a benediction which is ultimately beneficial. And therefore it may take some time to give the benediction. Because Lord Vishnu, he considers, let me first of all purify the heart of the worshipper. His heart, 6 months, going through great austerity, then he appeared before him and offered him the benediction of the kingdom of his kingdom greater than his great-grandfather, Lord Brahma. And ultimately he didn't want it, but still Lord Vishnu gave it to him anyhow. But he ruled over it as the great Vaishnava. And he's still ruling over it as the great Vaishnava. So there was no real loss on his part. He just didn't really care. He didn't care about the kingdom. He just cared about Vishnu. And still he only cares about Vishnu. He doesn't care about his kingdom. Because he understood what the difference is. For the demigod worshippers, they don't take Krishna very seriously. They take their benedictions very seriously. Therefore, they're actually, the only advantage is that if they get association with the demigods, then they may wake up and understand the uselessness of such benedictions. What to speak of the completely insignificant benedictions that are offered in present-day society? How completely ludicrous is the attempts of people to get benedictions from the bank, from their employers, from their so-called benefactors? Completely useless. Not only is it insignificant, the benediction, but the amount of time it's going to last is just absurd. I know one devotee, seemingly very sincere devotee, as soon as he found out he had inherited $25 million, immediately left the movement, and then he sent back all his Japa beads, his dhoti, all his books, and said, I won't need these things anymore. Or one other devotee who had taken Babaji, was chanting so many rounds a day because he had heard from the doctor that he had a heart condition and he'd die very soon. But then he went back to the doctor and the doctor said, no problem, your heart is alright, you're going to live for a long time. So then he gave up his Babaji, went back with his old girlfriend and took up his old lifestyle. So Prabhupada's comment was, now he thinks he's going to live forever. So the point is that the amount of time we have here is so insignificant that any kind of material benediction that we'd receive here is also not very valuable. Okay, we'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Yes. If our demoniac propensities is too strong, we will never... Yeah, of course, that's true. Therefore, we have to gradually purify ourselves of our demoniac propensities so that gradually we can surrender to Krishna. So we have a scientific process to help us surrender to Krishna. First of all, to accept everything favorable. So although we may not be able to, give up things that are unfavorable, at least we have to try to accept things which are favorable. Then when we see that they're actually nice, they're positive, then we can give up the inferior. Then when we see that Krishna actually, what he's saying is true, then we can trust him, we can rely upon him, we can have the same interests of him, and we can always be dependent on him. So it's a gradual process. But not that we start meditating, I'm such a demon, why even bother? Just be my natural self. But actually our natural self is a surrendered servant to Krishna. The demoniac consciousness that we require is just artificial. Yes?
Perhaps you mentioned that the demigods, they never take shelter of each other. Because, so how devotees, they do take shelter of other devotees.
I mean, I'm sure they, you know, they get together and they inquire from each other, you know, how's Indraloka going? And, you know, I mean, in that sense they do. But when things really get difficult, you know, when Bali Maharaj is attacking Indraloka, Indra doesn't call it the sun god and say, wow, we're really in a tight spot here, you know. I mean, they get together and they fight equally together. But they know ultimately none of them can really be the ultimate shelter of each other. When things get really rough, they go to the shore of the ocean milk, or they go to Vishnu, or, you know, somehow or another they take shelter. Or Brahma, and Brahma realizes, I'm not the controller either, you have to go to Vishnu. Yeah, that's what a devotee means. Not that, you know, I'm a great devotee, you don't have to take shelter. I'm such a great devotee, you don't even have to take shelter of Vishnu. Just take shelter of me. No, that's what the devotee tells you. Take shelter of Vishnu. That's what a devotee means. Anything else? Okay, thank you very much. Grantara Shrimad Bhagavatam.
Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada. Ki Jai. Or Premanande.